Paul Charchian here, longtime fantasy players. You'll remember my first fantasy company, Fanball.com, one of the original fantasy sports sites. Great news. I've got the band back together. Yes, Fanball.com is back with many of the same people, and we're ready for a new era. You know, I built LeagueSafe as the industry's first consumer protection service, making sure that winners got paid, so it shouldn't surprise you that Fanball.com is the only fantasy sports company built from the ground up with a singular mission to ensure fair play. In addition to all the awesome free content that you remember from Fanball, we also have season-long and daily fantasy sports contests. And best of all, Fanball.com has the Fanball number. Your Fanball number identifies your skill level and ensures that you play in contests against players at your skill level. No longer will regular players like you be overrun by hundreds of expert-level entries into your contests. If your Fanball number is 55, you're not going to be playing against experts rated in the 80s and 90s. I've leveled the playing field with a Fanball number at Fanball.com. Get your Fanball number today.
We're putting the band back together.
From the Twisted Minds, we brought you the original Fanball.
We had a bad pop enough to turn goat piss in the gas.
This is the Fanball Fantasy Football Podcast.
If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you.
And welcome back to another episode of the Fanball Fantasy Football Podcast. Sitting to my right is John Tuvey. How you doing, John?
Shoveled and gruntled.
Still.
And should I, in my other podcast that I can refer to here, I did the show in a British accent in honor of
in
the
a
London
Cockney
games.
British accent.
Yeah, it was probably worse than that, and it lasted for about 15 seconds.
I can do a lot of voices. I've done voiceover work for voices. I cannot do a British person very well. Like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins Bad. Oh. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I don't know how many accents I can do. Every time I try to do British, it devolves. Yeah, I don't
think
know what
devolved. Is the word you're looking
into Scottish.
Droid,
well, my British went from British to Australian to Scottish. I went all around the globe.
Nice. No, really, you went from one part of the globe to the other, and then right back.
Yes, pretty much.
So, all right. Well, today we're going to talk about some of our favorite value plays for this weekend's set of games. Let's start at the quarterback position. John Tuvey, who do you got?
I got Jay Cutler because I'm like Jay Cutler. I don't care. Jay don't care, and I love that Jay don't care because if you saw what he did with Devontae Parker last week where he knows he's got that receiver that will go up and fight for the ball. So, hey, triple coverage, no issue. And now he's got the Jets who don't really triple cover anyone. They're allowing 2.5 passing touchdowns a game. You can get yourself some Jay Cutler at Fanball for $6,100, and I think that's a nice place to start your value-based lineup and opens up the door at some other positions.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent price. My guy's, you know, a little more expensive. You got the cheapest guy on here. It's one of those weeks where I feel like the really low-end price guys, there's not a lot of value there. So you're just going to look to cut a couple thousand off the top. Who do you got, Jay?
I'm spending the most, but at the same time, I think it's pretty reasonable. Matthew Stafford, it's $7,100. Let me count the ways, okay? He's obviously off to a great start. His completion rate is somewhere in the 71% range, I want to say, without looking it up. It's fitting with his $7,100 price tag or price point for the week. He's going against the Falcons at the 25th defense this year in terms of passing yards allowed. It's very similar to the number they had last year. They don't have Vic Beasley. He is out for a month with an injury. And then let's get to the good one here. Okay, of Stafford's last 11 games against teams from the NFC South, okay, he is a perfect 11-for-11 and amassing either 300 total yards and or 3 touchdowns, okay? And then you put it all together against the NFC South, that division, last 11 games, he is averaging 335 yards passing, 2.3 touchdowns. Put it all together, he's my number 2 quarterback for the week, so why wouldn't I pay that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sold. I'm switching.
Okay.
All right. So John's switching from Cutler. You can tell it's true. I don't give a crap attitude right there.
It's everything but the cigarette hanging out of my mouth for Jay Cutler right now.
Oh, Jay Cutler versus the Jets. Stafford versus the Falcons. Both decent matchups. My matchup is probably not as good on paper, but
Vegas doesn't think so.
Vegas loves it. It's going to be a shootout. I think the implied total for this game is 54 points. I'm going to take Kirk Cousins, who hasn't been great this year, at least not so far. But Rob Kelly is going to be injured if he is playing. Otherwise, they'll be depending on a rookie. We got Chris Thompson, who they do want to get more passing plays to. I figure they're going to have to throw more to keep up with Oakland. So we have Kirk Cousins against an Oakland defense. They allowed both Josh McCown and Marcus Mariota to score about 20 fantasy points in Fanball scoring against them. I think Kirk Cousins is significantly better, and this game script is going to be a lot of passing.
And if you're building off of what happened on Thursday, you saw that 49ers offense get it going, you know, third game in. We've kind of seen the Redskins struggle. I think this is a great opportunity for them to get it going as well.
I've got Cousins as my number four quarterback for the week, nice. So I'm not going to dispute this in any way.
I believe that's a 6,700 price point on Kirk Cousins this week as well. So you're getting, or 6,900. That's a $6,900 price on Cousins, which is still pretty darn good. All right, let's move on to running backs. Let's go over to you, Jay, for the first running back.
Well, I wish we wouldn't have started with me, because okay. I am merely riding a hunch with this one.
Oh, okay.
Like, CJ Procise, okay? My perception of the Titans is that they're pretty stout against the run, and they can be easily thrown upon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
While I will acknowledge that Chris Carson had a really good game last week, got the majority of touches, the vast majority of touches, I'm still not sold that he's the RB1. I still think the Seahawks are going to just ride the hot hand every week and just kind of try to keep the opposing defenses on their toes. So with a price tag of $3,200, Procise seems like a pretty good value here. I'm simply playing a hunch here that he will have a good game. So it's not the sexiest pick I've ever made. It's more of a hunch, but it allows me to get, if I want to handcuff Stafford to, you know, Golden Tate, and then add like Antonio Brown at the receiver, yada, yada, I can do that.
Well, if you want to add Stafford to Golden Tate, might as well make it a true stack of like three players and get Theo Riddick in your lineup, who plays, as Jay mentioned before, the Falcons, who have allowed the most receptions to running backs this year. They allowed Tarik Cohen to destroy them. They allowed, I believe, Ty Montgomery to both those players had over 20 points, 20 fantasy points as pass catching backs. Both had good games on the receiving end. I feel like this is such an easy play at his price. $4,700, they have baked a little bit of it in. They realize that this is a matchup, you know, that he can exploit, but he's still ridiculously cheap compared to many other running backs.
You were talking about before the show that you're worried that he might be chalk that other people, that everyone is going to see, you know, because Atlanta, it isn't like this is a new thing for them. Last year, they gave up the most running back receptions. I believe they're second or third most in yardage. So that's how you beat the Falcons.
It's basically Giants against, or tight ends against Giants and Browns, pass catching running backs against Falcons.
Montgomery had 6 catches, 75 yards for a touchdown last week. So yeah, that's a pretty good pick. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Cohen had 8 week one, and Montgomery had 6 last week. If you can even if you drop Theo to like 5, which I think he'll get more than, he's in line for at least 10 points this week at 4,700. Well,
and people that saw Ameer Abdullah on Monday night might worry. I don't believe he was targeted in the Monday night game. I think he had a couple in their first game, but Riddick is far and away the targets leader out of that backfield. You know?
Absolutely.
And it's one thing to commit to the run, as the Lions did against a Giants team that isn't going to threaten you offensively. It's another thing entirely to get away from the offense that puts points on the board for you, which is the Detroit passing game, when you have to keep up with the Atlanta Falcons offense.
Right, and Riddick is averaging 5 targets a game. So let's move on. All right, John, let's go over to you for your running back.
My running back is also, like Jay's, it's not a sexy pick, because I think if you're looking at the New Orleans-Carolina game, everybody's thinking, this is Christian McCaffrey's coming-out party. Greg Olsen's targets are there. The Saints are a lousy defense, lots of opportunity. Well, I think there's room for McCaffrey to grow, but through the first couple of games, Jonathan Stewart has had 18 and 15 carries, mm-hmm. while McCaffrey's still getting his 15 touches per game. 14 of the last 16 running backs with 10 or more carries against the Saints have either scored or topped 100 yards.
That's wow, that is a stat.
And it's not just, you know, 20 carry a game guys. Only three of those 16 had 20 or more carries. Half of them had 15 or fewer. So we're talking guys in that
Jonathan Stewart range. Yeah.
Jonathan Stewart himself, last year, 18 for 31 and a touchdown, 19 for 85 and two touchdowns. He's scored in four of his last five against the Saints. He's only $5,500. I believe it's about $1,000 less than Christian McCaffrey. So if you're looking for a place to still get a taste of that Carolina-New Orleans game, but you don't have to overpay for McCaffrey, and it feels like there's going to be a lot of chalk on McCaffrey, I think Stewart might be the way to go.
Wow. That stat is still crazy to me. 14 of the last 16 running backs with 10-plus carries versus New Orleans have scored or topped 100 yards. That's amazing.
We might have to pop that on the site somewhere.
Might have to.
Maybe tomorrow morning.
That says a lot for for either Stewart or McCaffrey, but definitely probably more likely for Stewart. All right. You know what? Let's stick with you, Tubi. Go, give me your wide receiver.
Wide receiver, it felt like a good week to find values elsewhere and pay up at the receiver position, but I guess I'm coming around on J.J. Nelson. You know, you look at what the Arizona offense is doing. They're forced to throw. Carson Palmer is going to have to throw 35-plus times a game, and it's been J.J. Nelson. He scored in six of his last seven, so it's not just a thing where he got the 50 snaps last week with John Brown out. John Brown doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. I love Larry Fitzgerald, but he's starting to show his age a little bit, so the offense has to come from somewhere. Now you're going up against a Dallas defense that's allowed 6.5 catches and 53 yards per game to second wide receivers. So at worst case, that's Nelson's floor. Best case, he's their number one guy, and they're playing some catch-up against a Dallas defense or a Dallas team that can put some points on the board.
Yeah, and six touchdowns out of the last seven games is just so impressive by J.J. Nelson. You kind of worry that that principle of do will come into factor.
Regression to the mean is
yes,
the fancy way to say it.
Yes, he might not score. But David Johnson out, there should be volume there. That's the only way they can you know, move the ball is with that passing offense.
That's how the change bank makes their money. Volume, volume, volume.
Jay, who's your wide receiver?
Well, it's kind of a two-back, and I'll go real quick here. I've got Devin Funchess at $3,100. To me, this is, like I was saying this off air, this is the equivalent, like if you went to SeaWorld and Shamu came up to the sidewalk so you could pet him or her or it, whatever it is.
You're saying
like
Devin Funchess is too big? Or?
The Saints have the NFL's worst passing defense, okay? Yes, they drafted Marshawn Lattimore, a rookie, but at the same time, P.J. Williams is being exposed. I think Chart said something that he's ranked the 116th cornerback in the NFL right now, which is a startling thing. You know, I don't know if Cam Newton's going to light, you know, up the scoreboard for 300 yards and yada yada, all that stuff, but I like Funchess very well too this week. I also got Mohamed Sanu at $4,500. He is ranking among wideouts. He's top, 15 in both receptions and targets to start the year. And he's going against the Lions defense, which is good. They've been okay in terms of scoring, but I'm still not sold on this pass defense. Like Case Keenum lit this defense up last year. And if Muhammad doesn't go against Darius Slay for the Lions, I don't know if guys like Quandre Diggs and Hayden and all them can stop him. So I think those are two good guys I have at receiver.
Those are two really good ones. Everybody knows I don't like Devin Funchess, but man, this is a week, the one week where you're like, it almost seems obvious that $3,100 is such a good price. He's not going to be, you know, Kelvin Benjamin's going to draw top coverage.
There's top coverage in New Orleans? No, they had any.
If Funchess doesn't ball out, he's just as terrible as I think he is.
Yeah, he's already dead to you. So.
Yes. All right. My wide receiver I'm going to go with is Jermaine Kearse. I think at $4,400 is a value, but it's also fair because, you know, it's only been two games. It's a little bit of risk. But in 25 of his last 29 starts, Josh McCown has locked into his top guy for at least eight targets. Yeah, and one of those was week one that he didn't. But he tends to lock into his main guy, and Kearse is the guy right now. 15 targets over the last 2 weeks. And the Dolphins have allowed a double-digit fantasy points from 10 different wide receivers over the last six games. 10 of them over the last six games. It feels like Kearse has the best shot to be that guy this week. So I really like him at $4,400.
Yeah, if you liked Quincy Enunwa at the start of the season or before he got hurt, and then Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse is become what those guys were supposed to be.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Jay, let's move on to your tight end.
Okay, I've got Charles Clay. Oh, what's the value here?
$4,100.
$4,100. Okay. A couple of reasons here, and I'll do it real quick here. LeSean McCoy and Charles Clay are the preferred targets of Tyrod Taylor. He chalked that up to the receivers not being...
No, his preferred targets played Thursday night. Okay. and that had to drive him crazy to see... Watkins plays down the field. Woods with over 100 yards.
We won't hear from Robert Marquise Woods Goodwin for another 5 weeks. You know,
but
let's not judge too much of this. But I will acknowledge that, yes, that is some. There's some truth that I love Jordan Matthews long term, but it's obviously going to take him a while to get into the scheme of things. So Charles Clay is what, number two in targets. You had Jason Witten lighting up the Broncos last week. Yep. What, 7 catches, 93 yards, 1 touchdown. I think he had 11 targets in that game. Yeah. Which brings us to this. The Broncos obviously have a top five, maybe even the best defense against opposing wideouts. But last year, against tight ends only, okay, the Broncos ranked 30th in targets allowed, 26th in receptions allowed, and 21st in receiving yards given up. The only really good stat they had last year against opposing tight ends, they only surrendered 4 touchdowns. But still, from a PPR perspective, I love Charles Clay at $4,100.
On that touchdown thing, also interesting note about Denver in their last 4 games, they've allowed 3 tight ends to score and 3 tight ends over 15 fantasy points on Fanball scoring.
There you go, then.
Which is... Yeah, that's a great call, and as we mentioned on last week's podcast,
I'm all about great calls. You know, I should be a millionaire by now.
From last year through week one of this year, Charles Clay was the number 3 fantasy tight end. Yeah, last week didn't
he,
work,
he
quite
did finish
work out,
strong.
But, yep.
I really wish I had taken. You know, I'm a big believer in how you finish is what my seasonal rankings
happens
should
be. All the time. And, Jimmy
but
Graham,
but I dislike Taylor so much that I was like, eh. You know, so I really hate myself for not getting Clay in pretty much every league that I'm in.
Right. All right, Tuvi, who do you got?
I'll go hang with Mr. Hooper, Hooper against the Lions, who gave up the 3rd most tight end touchdowns last year and then allowed 108 yards and a touchdown to the Giants tight ends last week. Hooper scored in 3 of his last 6 games. I know you look at week 1 where he had it was on 2 targets, but he looked so good on that one play that I get the feeling – he's going to be running free in that Lions secondary. And like I said, I think this one, I think there's going to be some points put on the board.
I do, too.
And I think Hooper's going to take his bite.
Yep, I completely agree. I think Detroit-Atlanta are going to score some good points.
Can I add one thing since I wrote about this the other day in tight end plays? Not every team faithfully employs a tight end, so it's kind of skewed. But keep in mind, in the last calendar year, the Lions – have surrendered touchdowns to Jason Witten, Kyle Rudolph, Evan Engram, Delanie Walker, C. Dave Fedorowicz, Richard Rodgers, and Kobe Fleener.
Nice. That's wow. That is a
That's a collection right there.
That is a collection. Man, tight end is a good position this week. I think Hunter Henry at 5,000 is a good value. I think Evan Engram is a really good value at 3,300.
But there's one guy.
Yeah, there's
that
one. You
got alone.
Yeah, I mean, we have left this for you.
Yeah. Jack Doyle, I believe I still have him ranked as my number 1 tight end this
he's the Jay Ajayi of tight ends, really.
Yeah. He's playing the Browns, who just give up everything to the tight ends, even dating back to last year. But this year, they've allowed 8 catches for 91 yards to Ben Botson. They allowed Jesse James to score 2 touchdowns. And over the last 18 games, the Browns have allowed a whopping 13 tight ends to either achieve 75 yards or a touchdown. Doyle had, I believe, 7 or 8 catches off of 8 targets with Brissett last week. It feels like there's chemistry there. I feel like he's going to eat.
Daryl Johnston even noted the chemistry on a back shoulder throw. He said these guys have only known each other for 2 weeks and they've already perfected this. So you know, I get, for whatever that's worth. By the way, you said the 18 games last 19 games. Doyle has a catch to target ratio of 70% or higher 13 different times.
Oh,
I mean,
my
like
gosh.
This has got fantasy goodness, like where you're just the juices are dripping out of your mouth the entire day.
You know? I need to make him the picture of my article.
And that streak stretches long enough that it hasn't just been Andrew Luck. It's been Jacoby Brissett. It's been Scott Tolzien. So he's getting it done regardless of quarterback. Maybe the guy on the Colts team that is holding fantasy value through the absence of Luck.
Ben Watson, basically, well, he did fine with the Saints. Then he got injured. Basically didn't do anything until last week. He caught all 8 of his targets for those 91 yards.
And Max Williams caught all 4 of his, and I believe Boyle had 1 of 2. I mean, their ratio was ridiculous as well.
You can get Doyle and Hunter Henry for under 10 grand in a fanball lineup where you can flex a tight end. I mean, you can get 2 of these tight ends.
I really want Antonio. I love Antonio Gates, first ballot Hall of Famer. You got to retire. He's now that he broke that record last week, and I've never seen a pylon like that for something in the second quarter, you know, outside of Georgia scoring against Florida a couple years ago. But
there's that SEC bias.
Yeah, well, no. Hey, I didn't cover that game, but, you know, like, yeah, fresh in the mind. I have a Big Ten bias, by the way. Let's get this on the record. I'm a Big Ten slappy. Okay, I just covered the SEC.
My biggest, hesitancy with Jack Doyle, it depends on the contest you're playing, but even in any of them, really, he might be just straight-up chalk.
There should be none. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not worried about
his performance. I'm worried about everybody owning him. I'm worried that too many people are going to own him.
Well, what are you going to do? Yeah. I mean, I would rather with a one single position like tight end. I'm not looking to differentiate if it's an easy.
In ours, I suppose you can play up to 3 tight ends on FanVault.
What do you tell people when people ask for fantasy advice? What's the number one thing you tell them? Don't overthink it.
Yeah,
this one's
true.
An easy one. Yep. Just play it and hope for the best.
All right, wise words from Jay. Don't overthink it. So
Jay's an expert at that.
It's not like you're picking 1992 Duke in your NCAA pool to win the championship.
Right. I was at that championship game. Yeah.
Interesting.
In Minnesota?
Yeah, absolutely.
Minnesota.
All right, let's get on out of here. All right, thanks for listening, guys.
And gals.
Don't in fact, most of our listening audience is women, I believe.
According to the stats, yeah.
Yeah.
I asked my wife, you asked yours, and so there's 50% there.
So, for John Tuvey, at Jay Tuvey on Twitter, for Jay Clemens, at MIN_JayClemens, and for myself, Scott Fish, at ScottFish24. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.